1 Peter chapter 3, it tells us some more things here about Sarah that I would like to bring your attention to. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 5. It said, "For after this manner in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." That's a different idea, isn't it? "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Amen. Now, if anybody was going to take, or if there's someone that would like to take something home with you from this service, I, for one, when I see something in the scriptures that tells me a promise, that my prayers, I don't know about you, but I'm praying about a lot of things. And God has answered multitudes of prayers for me. But there's a lot of prayers that I've prayed that I've not yet received an answer. And so if I, through some acts of obedience, if I can honor those that God has put in my life, just the little respect of honoring them as the weaker vessel and being heirs together of the grace of God. And I realize it's talking to the wives, but also to the husbands. And there's things we can work on in our homes and our families so we can get our prayers answered. Praise God. Again, I ask you, wouldn't you like to have your prayers answered? And sometimes we pray, oh God, show me what to do. Let me know, oh Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do if I can just get a prayer answered. And here he's telling us right here a way that our prayers will be not hindered. So there's some things we need to look at here. What I would like to use for a title today is simply lifted those four words that are lifted right out of verse number 6 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Whose daughters ye are. Whose daughters you are. And I know there's a lot of things in the scriptures and a lot of promises. And we speak often about being the sons of Abraham and the children of Abraham. But there also are daughters of Sarah. And that's the ones that we would like to honor in this service today. Praise God. So on this day that we are here to honor all the beautiful women in our life, I believe we are also here to celebrate the institution of marriage and the family that God ordained and the beauty of life. Amen. Somebody say life. The beauty of life that has been given to us by another human being that we should all honor and respect and reverently call our mother. Hallelujah. There is one thing that every one of us in this building, and no matter who's listening around the world, there is one thing that everybody has in common. We all have a mother. Praise God. You know, perhaps your mother wasn't everything that she could have been, or in extreme cases, should have been. Yet they should hold a place of recognition in our life. For no other reason than they gave us that precious gift of life. Amen. I feel quite sure that many of us probably at some point in our life have brought our mothers to a point of a frustration where maybe they might not have said it. Maybe some did, but probably some of them thought it. I brought you into this world. And I can take you. Anybody ever hear that? Whose daughters ye are, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. Now, I want to, not that I want to just try to focus on the negative, but sometimes we have a tendency to put these Bible characters that we love and honor and respect somewhere on a pinnacle of a place that we feel like that we could never reach. And when I use illustrations, even those that are closer to us and some that we've known, I never want to leave the feeling that I think that somehow another generation was better than we are, or another generation was closer to God than some of you are, or that some have attained to something that some of you will never attain to. Actually, it's exactly the opposite of what I'm trying to do with this message this morning. I'm telling you whose daughters you are. You are the daughters of Sarah. Amen. We are the children of Abraham and Sarah by faith. Hallelujah. I know we preachers make a big deal about being a son of Abraham, and it is a big deal, but likewise, there's a promise for the daughters of Sarah. Hallelujah. Whose daughters you are. That's what I'm talking about in using that title this morning. Praise God. How many know there would never have been an Isaac had there not been a Sarah that was willing to believe that her husband, amen. Well, I'd like to preach this real good to you this morning. Amen. Sarah had to believe and understand that there was a calling on her husband's life, and not only a calling, but a promise. Hallelujah. And because she had faith, and because she honored him, and because she understood there was a calling and a promise on her life, she was willing to be obedient. Amen. I really don't think that it's necessarily, and I don't believe that a woman should be treated like a child or an inferior human being. Amen. I'm about to get on a soapbox here, but if there's anything that bothers me bad about the liberal media is what they try to make of some of these other religions that are coming in, and they are even promoting them and teaching them in the public schools, and at the same time trying to be champion of women and women's rights in our country. Amen. And Christianity has done more to honor the women, the female gender, than any other religion that has ever had any prominence at all, amen, in this world. And we ought to raise our head with a little bit of godly pride. It's Christianity that promotes women. It's Christianity that honors women. It's Christianity that understands their place, and we are taught in the sacred scriptures to give them honor and respect. Amen. Because it's due to them. Hallelujah. God created them. Amen. God gave man, as Brother Carlton's already spoke so well. He created him a help. Amen. I know sometimes, and this is not my notes, you're just getting a little extra here. Sometimes we say a helpmate. It is not a helpmate. That's not what the scripture says, nor is that what that word means. God created Adam a helpmeet, M-E-E-T, the same word that is in the New Testament given, where John said, bring forth works that are meet for repentance. It simply means God created a woman. Amen. It was something that was a crown jewel that was worthy of the man. Hallelujah. She is to be honored. She is to be respected. Amen. And you know, we might have a revival if some of us husbands and fathers would honor our wives and mothers like we should. It might be that God would open the windows of heaven and let us get another prayer through. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There would have never been an Isaac, a Jacob. That promise would have never been able to have been carried on had Sarah not been willing to obey Abraham and believe in his call and his promise. You know, it's a shame sometimes that a woman can't have confidence in her husband because of the things that she's seen out of him in the home and how he's acted out and not shown to really be truly born again. again. Amen. But if you have a godly husband, amen, hear me, sisters, today. Wives, I'm preaching to primarily. If you have a man that loves you and loves your family and loves your children, you are to honor him and believe in him. Amen. And likewise, if you're providing good for your family and you've got a good wife that keeps your children clean and presentable and your house presentable, at any moment somebody might show up, you need to honor and respect her. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I didn't realize there was so much in this, but we could have a breakthrough in our homes if we could get some of these things exactly right and then believe God to give us a promise. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Abraham had a calling and a promise on his life. And she understood she could be blessed just because she was in covenant. Woo! Man, somebody ought to say hallelujah. Because she could be in covenant with him, then that brought the blessing that was promised to Abraham onto her. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about in being obedient. It was bringing that blessing and that promise that God had already given to Abraham into her life. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, Hebrews 11 and 8, into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. I love verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Here's the promise again for the sisters. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Amen. Thank God for a man with a calling and a promise. And also equally, we should thank God for a woman that can provide continuity to that promise, so that promise may be fulfilled and perpetuated. Somebody hear me now. To the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, to even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't believe in generational salvation. You don't get saved because mom and dad was saved. Amen. Everybody has to have a starting place and a born-again experience of their own. But I can promise you, I have had a much better opportunity, thank God, at hearing the gospel, because I had a godly grandfather and a godly grandmother and a godly mother. Hallelujah. I'm about to get happy up here this morning just thinking about what God has given me. And I want to raise my hands. I want to raise my voice. And I want to say, thank God, I have a wonderful opportunity. I hope I'm doing the best with it. I hope I'm doing everything I can, because to whom much is given, much will be required. And if you've been blessed to be second or third or fourth generation, and you've heard the gospel until it's almost become boring to you, you need a change of heart and a change of mind, and realize how blessed you are to have this gospel message preached so close to you. Hallelujah. So now, after 4,000 years later, our wives, mothers, sisters, and daughters can reach out by faith. Amen. Somebody's not hearing me in here this morning. 4,000 years later, our wives and mothers and sisters and daughters can reach out by faith and claim the promise made to the daughters of Sarah, whose daughters you are. Amen. Let's focus on Abraham for a time. 75 years old. Amen. Which, if I got it figured out, would have put Sarah in her 60s. When one day he gets a call to go out, leave his kindred, leave all of his kinfolks, to go out to a place, I'll show you. And so by faith, with this promise and this calling, he just goes out. Praise God, he goes in faith. Amen. It seems that even in her 60s, she is still extremely attractive and beautiful. In so much that at the time that Abraham sojourned into Egypt, Abraham felt intimidated and insecure in the fact that those men especially, evidently Abraham already had some standing because it seemed like that he was always rubbing elbows with important people. And when he gets in Egypt, it's Pharaoh that he's concerned about that might even want to take Sarah to be his wife. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Are y'all still with me so far? I know you got plans. I know you got that big dinner plan and everything, but it's just 11:16 or so. So I think we're doing okay so far. So again, Sarah and Abraham, they connive, or they make this up before they go in before Pharaoh, again because of the insecurity and the intimidation, and especially the way things, the way the world worked in that time. He had reason to be suspicious and to be wondering what might happen to this beautiful woman that he calls his wife. So they make it together. We won't tell them that you are my wife. We'll tell them that you are my sister. Because he said, if they find out that I'm your husband, they'll kill me. I'm afraid they'll take my life, and then they'll take you to be their wife. So even in this, and I'm pointing out to you that everybody that we hold on a pedestal is not always perfect. They didn't actually tell a lie. Come on now. They just sort of didn't tell the whole truth. Come on, somebody say amen now. Hallelujah. You know, they just didn't. The half truth is, I know y'all know this, but some of you may not, but the half truth is that Sarah really is a half sister to Abraham. They have the same father, so it's not really a total lie. You know? Yeah, I'm remembering a little story right now. I heard my wife's grandmother tell after I got in the family several years ago. She said, she told it to me numbers of times and give her testimony, but you know, all these years going past, she would laugh about it, but it wasn't a laughing matter at the time. Because this takes us back to the Marble City days. A lot of things went on in them there hills. And especially in the Prohibition days. Sister Deidre's not here, but it would have been her grandfather, April's grandfather as well. They weren't making moonshine, but they were running bootleg whiskey in the 30s. They were driving it, hauling it, carrying it across state lines. And so sure enough, the sheriff found out about it. And they were on the run. They were looking for him because they wanted him to stop running that moonshine whiskey that night. Held very much against the law. A lot of people went to, as a matter of fact, that place my mom and dad live on now, my grandpa bought that place. When I was a little boy, I could go there, and it was very evident where that steel was. You could tell right where it was. I probably could still find it today, but especially, and again, this, y'all are having a little history lesson. This is the days of Prohibition in Oklahoma, and they would make those farmers would make that moonshine, and then they would sell it. And so that's what they're doing. They're running, and she about this time, Sister Floyd's mother, Cuby, got saved. The gospel came. Someone came through preaching, and they heard the holiness message of Pentecost, and they got saved. She said, Daryl, I've just been saved just a little while. And she said, you know, Curtis was running that whiskey and they was looking for him. And she said, the sheriff knocked on my door. And then in the middle, she would say, it was Sheriff Floyd. She said, you've heard of Pretty Boy Floyd? I said, oh yeah. She said, well, Pretty Boy Floyd was an outlaw and his brother was the sheriff. And so Sheriff Floyd was knocking on my door. And so Curtis, he's out about the place. He knows they're looking for him, but he don't realize the sheriff has showed up. So he's out the place, and he comes around the corner to the front, and there's Sheriff Floyd standing on his on his porch, his front door, talking to his wife. And the smooth, slick talker that Curtis was, the ones of you that knew him, April's grandpa, he stepped up, too late to run. He says, Mrs. Taylor, have you seen Mr. Taylor around here anywhere? And she said, oh, Daryl, it was a trial. She said, I just had got saved, but I wasn't going to lie. She said, that's him. Go on with him, Curtis. Go on, go on. That's him right there. Go on, go on. Sheriff Floyd come to arrest him. He's knocking on the door talking to Miss Taylor, Floyd's mother. Curtis is out about the place. He don't know the sheriff's on his front door. He comes around. The sheriff's standing on his front door looking for him. He sees him talking to QB, and he just steps up and says, Mrs. Taylor, have you seen Mr. Taylor around here anywhere? He's the one they're looking for. And he's trying to buy time because he realizes he stepped up and surprised them and the sheriff. And the sheriff's there to arrest him. And she said, I'm not going to lie about it. Curtis, go on with him. They're here to get you. Just go on. Just go on. And they arrested him. She said, I was back at church that night knowing my husband was down there in the jailhouse. And there I could have played along with the little trick to try to delay. But she said, I wouldn't do it. You know what? God saved him after a while. And there's promises right there in that third chapter of 1 Peter where I read that an unbelieving husband. Am I helping anybody here this morning? And I want to say it, Sister Floyd Usler, you're on the front seat. You're all the way almost in the back. Raise your hand back there. Whose daughter you are? Amen. Sister Floyd. My wife, amen. Sister Joyce, she was here, amen. Back there in the back. Why are y'all so far in the back today? Where are you at? Ava, my little granddaughter. I'm trying to preach to you, honey. Whose daughters you are, amen. I'm trying to help somebody in this house this morning. Amen. I'm trying to show you examples. If you will do right and love your husband, amen, and stand for the right and speak the truth and live a godly example before them, you can reach the unbelieving. Amen. Come on, church. Somebody get a hold of this. God's trying to show you something here this morning. Amen. We have record in the scriptures where Sarah had her moments of doubt and failure. But even in the debacle concerning Hagar and the circumstances of Ishmael's birth, the blessing of Abraham was still in effect. Praise God. Let me tell you something. You know you're blessed. Even when your mistakes are getting blessed and things you're doing wrong is still getting blessed. Even Ishmael had a blessing on him because there was a connection to Abraham. Man, somebody get a hold of this in the house. There are promises. There's promises, wives, that are made to your husband. There are promises, husbands, that are made to your wives. And if we'll complete the continuity, our prayers will be answered. And our lost loved ones can be won to Christ because we believed in the promise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Luke chapter 13 and verse 16. And ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound. Lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on, church. I'm asking you right now, would you work with me just a little bit here? Amen. Whose daughters you are. Would somebody here in this service this morning just forget about all the other activities. Forget about this being a special day. Don't worry necessarily about all the visitors. Amen. Just say, oh God, I'm needing something from you this morning. And I believe I'm a daughter of Sarah. I believe I'm a son of Abraham. Amen. Oh, listen, church. Those Pharisees that were in that synagogue that day where that woman that was bound for 18 years with an infirmity and could in no wise lift herself up. They whined and moaned and complained because Jesus raised her up and healed her on the Sabbath day. And they said, there's 6 days people can get healed. Why do you have to do it? In other words, they were accusing him of manual labor on the Sabbath day. They wouldn't have cared if it had been Monday before she got her healing. It wouldn't have mattered them if she'd have been bound one more day. It didn't matter to them if she'd have been bound for another year. But Jesus said, amen, you're loosed. Be loose from your infirmity. Amen, you're here for a reason. It may be your sickness. It may be your disease. It may be God's opportunity for you to say, I'm a child. I'm a daughter of Sarah by faith. And I'm going to reach out and take hold of my promise and receive it to myself and believe that I can receive something. Amen. Will the saints of God in this house raise your hands here? Amen. Give those a witness sitting around you. Do you know God's a healer? Do you know God's a savior? Amen. Do you know he wants to do it? Do you know he wants to be active in your life? Do you know he wants to perpetuate another promise to another generation? It's yes, yes, yes. Amen. God wants to do it. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we believe him and realize we have a promise on our life, we can receive our blessing. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've thought of so many different people. I know I've been teaching and preaching, talking to you about Sarah. But it's not just those in the Word of God in the Old Testament that we look to. But God in my lifetime has given me people that I know. People that I loved, people that I heard testify, amen, that I know God done something in their life and they received a promise. Amen. Is it all right if I share one or two? Remember what I said in building my foundation. When I speak of things in our past, I'm not leaving you the impression, nor do I ever want to do that, that they are somehow better than you, because some of them I knew and many of them wasn't. Amen. Some of them don't pray as much as some of you did, but still they realize they have a promise. And if I can get you to start believing, and that's what the enemy doesn't want you to do, is believe there's a promise on your life that can be fulfilled in your life. If you'll start understanding who you are in Christ, you can receive what God has for you. Hallelujah. Amen. One such sister we worshiped with. A lot of you here now in our church won't even know this lady when I call her name. But every once in a while it comes back to me. And it did this week. And I just wanted to share a little bit of that testimony. Then that sister Earlene Watkins. Oh, hallelujah. All those years that she struggled. Amen. If I could just, if somehow, when we share these great testimonies, if I could get you young mothers and you young sisters to understand, amen, Sister Earlene was not a powerhouse saint of God that tore the place up every time she got up to testify. Matter of fact, I went to church with her all my life, and I could probably count all the times on one hand that I ever heard her or saw her stand up in a service. She didn't make any noise. If you didn't know her, you hardly knew it was, she was there. Hallelujah. It was a hard, long pull. Her husband wasn't saved. There was a lot of things in her life that wasn't pleasant. Amen. But a lot of us didn't understand until later years in her life. There was a deep-seated love for Jesus Christ that went beyond the surface. Amen. And oh, hallelujah. And in that time in her life, when God got ready to bring that to a fruition, I'm telling you, he brought it to the surface and made a saint of God out of that sister. Amen. Her place with those of us that worship with her will always remember.
I won't tell it all, but just that one thing for healing. Is that all right? Thank you, Jesus. Would you lift your hands right now? Ask God to touch the preacher. That cold air has hit me and it's trying to take my voice right away from me. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I rebuke you. I come against your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I resist you. I rebuke you. Oh, Heavenly Father, help me. Touch me today, Lord. Give me voice to preach this message. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many is glad you're in church today? Amen. How many love the Lord with all your heart? How many believe you're living inside of a promise? Amen. How many believe that you've not yet obtained your promise yet? Amen. How many believe you'd like to get a hold of it? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It wasn't one decade. It wasn't two. It wasn't three. This turned out to be a 40-year-long battle. Amen. It don't have to be that for you. And it wouldn't have necessarily had to been that for her. But I'm trying to encourage you wherever you are. Amen. Wherever you are, wherever your family is, wherever your children are, amen. I know how that enemy works. I know how he tries to discourage you. I know how he tries to put you down and say there's no need. There's no need to go to church. Those children aren't hearing anything. They're not even listening. They're not getting any of it. Yeah, I know he's a liar. Amen. He says they're distracting others around you, but I want to tell you, no matter where you are in your life, you stay in church. You keep your family in church. You've got your roots go down deep because there are promises to those in the Word of God. Go back and read 1 Peter chapter 3. If you have an unsaved companion, there is promises in that chapter that you can get a hold of and believe and receive the promise. Amen. Besides all that very horrible disease, besides having a son in Vietnam and just lots of things she went through. But one night, one service, again, there's just so many things I want to preach right here. It can happen. Your promise can be fulfilled in a moment's time. And you don't know when that moment is. I don't think the devil knows when that moment is. But if he can discourage you before that moment comes in your life, then you will never reap the benefits of that coming and maturing to fruit in your life. That's what I'm trying to preach to right now, is encourage the mothers, the sisters, especially right now, those of you that are in the hard times of your life. Your husband's trying to make a living. Sometimes there's more month than there is money. Amen. Come on now. And you wonder how you're going to get through. And the church is always asking. And they're always putting the plate out. But I can promise you, if you will stay faithful, if you will stay with God, there will be a breakthrough in your life. And it will happen. Amen. Would you lift your hands again? Ask God to help us. Come on, your voice is comforting to me. Go ahead and just worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, we need to push back a little bit, church. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I need a touch right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. That moment finally came in that service. And Sister Erlene got faith in her heart. And she said, I'll go home and do some certain things. Amen. It wasn't what a man told her to do. It wasn't what somebody asked her to do. It was the Spirit of God that moved in her life. That said, if you'll do a certain thing, a certain number of days, and then I'll do a certain thing. Amen. Oh, yes. Nobody knew. She didn't tell anybody. Amen. But what it was, she was supposed to fast fast for about 7 days. Amen. Come on now. This disease she had does not allow you to go without meals. And when you eat, you got to take insulin and you got to take it at the right time and right amount. So y'all hear me preach. Amen. My dad pastored that sister. There were times they went to pray for her when she was in a coma. Amen. From things not being right and being out of balance. There was no doubt. Amen. You know what happened? She obeyed God. And Monday she went all day long. Amen. No food. And she's still doing good. Tuesday morning she's doing good. Her husband that's unsaved said for 2 days I followed her around so I could catch her when she passed out. But after about the third day of no eating, he starts realizing also there's something going on. I've never seen her do anything like this. Amen. Hear me preach now. Again, I don't have time to tell it all. But on that last and final day of her fast, and that day up in the prayer room in the second story, calling on God and telling Him, oh Lord, I love You. Oh Lord, I thank You. Thank You for these days. Thank You for touching me. Thank You for giving me strength. Hallelujah. Woo! Just enjoying the presence of the Lord. Man, again, I challenge you young sisters. Have you a time to pray? Amen. Susanna Wesley raised 18 or 19 children. The children knew when Mama put her apron up over the top of her head that they're to go on and leave Mama alone. For a few minutes, she's calling on God. Hallelujah. Sister Earlene's praying in the second story. And she says, oh Lord, thank You for helping me. I have this disease. And I know I'm supposed to do all these things. And I haven't done it all this week. I haven't ate, haven't taken insulin. And tomorrow I'm going to go back to eating. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence being close to me. Thank You for this time we've got to spend in fellowship together this week. And she said to the Lord, I sure do hate to have to start taking those shots again. And when that come out of her mouth, she said the Spirit of the Lord witnessed to her and said, you don't have to. Praise God. And the rest of her life, which was a good number of many years, she never had to take another one. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Can I just do this? Sister Laura Lee, Sister Deborah, would y'all just stand up for a moment? Amen. Heather, where are you at? Amen. Go ahead and stand up, sis. Praise God. Amen. Little Samantha, where's she at? Samantha, I want to say to you, whose daughters ye are. Come on now. Amen. Come on, church. Let's have church in here this morning. Whose daughters ye are. Amen. Somebody received a promise. Somebody held on to the victory came. Somebody believed I can obtain. I can have. Amen. On a Mother's Day Sunday, I want to preach to you young women and young girls and young ladies. Amen. God wants you to be part of the promise. He wants you to receive the promise. He wants you to have. Of it, and He will demonstrate to you that He is able to fulfill His promise in you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. One more and I'm done. Thank You, Jesus. This needs to be told every 2 or 3 years. It's probably been that long since I shared it, and I felt it again yesterday, so I'm going to tell it again. Hallelujah. And this will... And the reason I want to use it, because I want to include these others to show you there's a promise. Hallelujah. Again, another lady that I heard growing up. Her name was Sister Irene Masterson. I heard her many times testify at Marble City. She would stand up and the Spirit would get on her and the anointing would move her. And I don't tell how many times I heard her tell it. Not one time did I ever get tired of Sister Irene telling about what God done for her. Again, I'm telling you, we got to understand, you've got a devil. Our adversary goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, amen. While I'm preaching to some of you right now, the enemy's trying to distract your mind. But I want to tell you something. There are predators out there. They want your children. They want to harm them. They want to do something to them. And if there ever was a time that the saints of God, moms and dads, again, I read to you at the beginning, that our prayers be not hindered. When our children leave the house and they're out of your care, amen, the ones that you trust, the ones that you are close to, are most of the time the ones that harm the innocent. I tell you what we need to do. We need to pray. So glad when they start singing in the choir, when they start testifying, when they start witnessing, you're going to be glad that you held in there. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, this sister, her husband wasn't what he needed to be. She didn't have a lot of help, a lot of encouragement. And only one daughter. She loved that daughter. Prayed that band, that wall of protection around her. Hey, amen. If you're raising children, can y'all hear me all over the house? If you're raising children and something bad's about to happen to them, wouldn't it be kind of reassuring to know that you have a relationship with the Holy Ghost that might be able to speak something into your heart that would say you need to do something right now. You need to go check on them. You need to say something. Man, there's too many times that things get by in our families that we don't realize. You've got to wake up. We've got to have a spiritual awakening. Man, for people to understand we are in a real world. And the devil really wants to steal and kill and destroy. And we got to do something about it. Amen. So she's praying, seeking God. Those children had to walk across Salisaw Creek. And everybody used the railroad trestle. I've seen it so many times in my eye right now. I can picture it. Man, there was a low water crossing for the cars, but the rail company built a trestle across that creek. And so, especially when the creek was up, people going back and forth would walk the trestle. Amen. Y'all hear me preach? It's a pretty long track across there, and oftentimes things would happen. It was dangerous. Man, the children walked across it to go to school. But one day the Holy Ghost moves on Sister Irene and she says, go down to the trestle. Man, why now? It's not time for school to be out. Man, there's no need for me to go now. Wait till school's out. But the Holy Ghost said, go. Man, praise God. Again, I'm asking you, do you want a relationship with Him that when He speaks to you, that you can respond and move at that time? Oh, I need to encourage some young people. I know how that lying devil is. I know what he's telling you right now. But what you need to realize, God loves you, and he loves your family, and he loves your children. And I just want to show you how different things could be if God hadn't moved and a woman hadn't responded. Amen. Sister Irene only has one daughter. Her name's Colleen. Colleen's 9 years old. I've heard this so many times. So she goes. Anyway, even though it's not time for school to be out, she goes to the trestle. About the time she gets there, she sees her little 9-year-old girl getting on the trestle on the other end and starting to walk back across that train track. And then about the time she's committed and too far to turn around, she sees the big, they said it was a Kansas City Southern coming over the brink of the hill, coming down hard on the trestle. And she don't think there's enough time for that 9-year-old to get across the trestle. So she jumped up in the middle of the tracks and said, "Run, Colleen. Run, honey, run. Come on, run to mama, honey. Come on, run, run, sissy, run." Colleen's running, begins to pick up the pace, run toward her mama. And then I would hear Sister Irene say, this is about the time the Holy Ghost would go to moving on her, and that head would start doing that. She said, "I scooped that baby off of that track and watched that train swish by so fast right behind her, just in the nick of time." Amen. Colleen says, "I never saw the train. I never knew a train was behind me. All I knew, that mama was standing on the other end saying, 'Come on, run, run to me.'" Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, can I ask you, Sister Teresa, stand up. Sister Courtney, stand up. Amen. There may be some others. Sister Emma, where are you at? Stand up. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. It would have been a different story as it would have been with Sarah had not Sarah obeyed God and had one son. We would never have the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And these people you're looking at right now would not even be alive if that one daughter would have been killed by the train, and things would have been different in our life. But thank God for a strong woman. Thank God for a praying woman. Thank God for somebody that will believe the word of God and stand on it, even when it's not easy, even when it doesn't make sense, even when others are dropping out. I mean, we got to keep on going. Hallelujah. By the time I got big enough to go with my dad to preach at Marble City, it was a very small church. You hear me? With only a few women. I was there a lot of times when Brother Buddy Rogers, again, that's y'all's grandfather, Brother Vern, be the only two men besides whoever the preacher that showed up for that night. Amen. When others got discouraged, and there was a bunch of young families that got shipwrecked in that ministry at that time. Well, previously before that. They let church trouble wear them down and they got out of church. And I can tell you a bunch of shipwrecks that should be in that ministry strong today. But that old sister I just described to you, whether the church was up or the church was down, or it was revival or a slow, dry service. Oh, somebody help me worship God here this morning. Surely we're in a holiness church, Pentecostal church. I know it's Mother's Day, but can we just worship? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's do it for a few more seconds here. While somebody prays and meditates right now for a good song, I need my musicians to get ready. Come on, let's make an altar call here this morning. It might be that somebody, it may be I'm preaching to somebody today that's reevaluated. Maybe you've took another look. Because when it's been hard, maybe things wasn't just exactly like it needed to be in the home. Even sometimes good people in the church will say things that will discourage somebody else that's going through a hard time. And they say, "Nobody has confidence in me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about my family or my children." And they just get tired of fighting and they just quit. Oh man, I'd like to up the stakes for somebody here today. Amen. Come on quickly, whoever's going to sing. Maybe I should have planned this out a little bit better, but I just don't seem to think of everything. Whose daughters ye are. Amen. I've showed you some Bible examples. I've showed you some modern day examples, illustrations. And I want to say to you whose daughters ye are.
Amen. Oh, I could tell. I look over the congregation. Sister Reed, my Lord. Leslie wouldn't be here. Her husband sitting beside her would testify to you right now. He'd be a dead man. Brother C.L. Reed, we love him, don't we? He'd be a dead man. Hadn't it been for a praying woman. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, I hope y'all are getting my message here this morning. I'm needing to bring it to a close, but boy, I sure want to get into somebody's heart here. Whose daughters ye are, if you do well. I'm telling you, tried to prove the point. Again, sometimes when we testify, we don't mean to, but we highly exalt people, and young people think, I can never be that. But I'm telling you, they wasn't that. Come on now, work with me again, church. Sister Arlene wasn't that. She wasn't that person. She wasn't that spiritual giant. She was one that struggled. But thank God through her struggle, God brought her safely through it. Amen. Answered prayers. Hallelujah. St. John chapter 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Do a little exercise with me here. I have read this passage, no telling how many times, and I've done this while I've read it. If y'all want to do it with me this morning, you can. At the cross, Jesus is hanging on the cross. There's his mother. There's one. His mother's sister. There's two. Mary, the wife of Cleophas. There's three. Mary Magdalene, we know who she is, of whom seven devils was cast out of her. And every time, Sister Nikki, I read that, I'm so perplexed. Jesus at the cross. Jesus hanging on the cross. I've read it, Brother Gator, a number of times. I tried to count more, but I can't. That's all I can count. And then on down, if I'd read on down another verse or two, you can go ahead and put that next one up. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, there's five. John never names himself. It's always the other disciple or the disciple whom Jesus loved. He saith unto his mother, come on now, work with me. Woman, from the cross, get this picture. Did Christianity honor women? Come on now. Don't ever fall prey to that if you're in an argument with another liberal. They try to act like that Christianity puts down women. Christianity promotes women. From the cross, Brother Theron, I mean, with him working on your salvation and mine and the salvation of the whole world, the sins of all the world on him, and he's concerned about his mother. From the cross, he looks at her. I don't know about you. I can hardly take that in. I can hardly grasp that. With everything he had to do, Brother Hansley, to bring salvation on that cross, all the things that had to be, all the hundreds of prophecies that had to be fulfilled in those few moments' time, he takes time to call out his mother. Saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. From that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Praise God. Somebody say, praise God. Oh, I'll say it again. Praise God. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for the sufferings of Christ. Thank God that he looked through time and eternity and brought salvation enough for every one of us. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, he can do it for you today. If you're a backslider here today, he wants you to come back. He's standing like Irene was, saying, run, run, run. But I'm perplexed. I read
that in the scriptures where Jesus fed 5,000. I read where he fed 4,000. I looked at it again this morning and went through the counting again. I can still only count five. Not 5,000, not 500, not 50. Five. I wanted to say, where's blind Bartimaeus? He ain't there. I wanted to say, where's that Samaritan leper, that one that was cleansed that we talk about so much, that went back alone to give Christ the praise? Where's he at? He ain't there. I want to say, Peter, big boy, you're always talking big. Though all men forsake thee, I'll not. I want to say, Peter, I was saying that in my mind this morning. Where you at, Peter? James, where you at? Matthew, where you at? So on this Mother's Day, may I honor the beautiful women in my life. My wife, would you stand first? Just stand right there where you're at. All of our sisters all over this house, I loved it that they gave every one of them a rose. That's the right thing to do. That's the right way to do it. Would our sisters stand? Men, you stay seated. Sisters, stand. Because we want to honor you. Christianity would like to honor you. Whoever's listening around the world, they may be listening somewhere in one of those Islamic nations. I know they listen to some of those nations at border. I know that the military group that Brother Art talked to us about this morning, they had Bible study in Iraq and listened to me preach. So we don't know where this is going. But whoever's hearing it, Christianity promotes women. We honor our sisters in the Lord. They're not a shoemat. They're not a slave. They're not a servant. They are worthy of the man. They're not to be treated inferior. They're not to be talked down to. They're not to be slapped around or ordered around. They are to be honored and respected by all. I love it. I see Brother James back there weeping. I see some other men. We're honoring our ladies in our life. Every one of us have a mother. Thank God for the sisters in our life. Boy, I tell you this. I heard Brother Havis say this. I coined this phrase right here. Talking about this passage I'm sharing with you all this morning. He said, I'd rather have a standing woman any day than a running man. And I've thought about that so many times. Sometimes men run. Sometimes men run away from their responsibility. Sometimes they run away from their family. Sometimes they won't support their own. They have to be hounded as deadbeats because they won't provide for their own. They won't pay child support. I can't imagine a man fathering children into this world and won't take care of them. You know what the Bible says about you if you're like that? You've denied the faith. Man, you're worse than an infidel. That's what God thinks about women and children. Well, I wish I was been feeling this good 30 minutes ago. Let God speak to your heart today. Sisters, be encouraged. Sister Wilma, hold on. I know it hadn't always been easy. But I'm so glad you stayed in there. If I could see Sister Irene, I'd say, I know it wasn't easy, but I'm so glad you stayed in there. Oh, hallelujah. I think about my own grandmother, and I think about former pastors, one of which, Brother Lester Moore, pastored him. He said he was 19 years old when he pastored your mom and dad, my grandparents. But this is what he said. He didn't call people by handles. He said, Walsy. He said, Walsy, when Walsy got back from the sanitarium, and God had healed her body. He said there was never a doubt about whether Walsy was in church or not. I heard him tell it different times. When the snow piled up
And they didn't have cell phones and Facebook like we do to get the word out. They just, you know, say we're not having church tonight. Pastor's wife, Sister B, said, no need to light the fire tonight. There won't be nobody there. He said, yeah, you're probably right. There won't be nobody there. And he said, then I thought. He said, well, seeing them children will be here. He said, sure enough, I saw them headlights. That old 38 Ford, I think he said, coming over the top of that snow. Well, he talked, that's about the only ones that was there. But the reason it was because God had done something in their life. I'm just trying to show you. There's not an edge in my voice, is there? I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not upset. Well, I just got a good opportunity to preach to a lot of people here this morning. And then God wants to continue that promise in your life. That's what it is. I'm not dangling you over hell by a shoestring. I'm not trying to preach down hellfire and brimstone on you. I'm telling you, there's a promise on your life. And it's going to be sad if that promise is not fulfilled. Because you didn't complete the circuit. Hallelujah. One more time, let's lift our hands. I'm making an altar call right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for touching us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for reaching out. Thank you for making a difference. I know you're speaking to somebody right now. Amen. Brethren, gentlemen, you may join if you're sitting beside where your wife is standing. It's fine with me if you want to just take their hand. Let them know you love them. Let them know you care about them. There's so many times we don't think to. We take our wives for granted. We take our daughters for granted. I love my daughters so much. And I opened up, I shared some personal things last Sunday. Brother Junior, it was nothing for me to go in her room at night. Find her reading her Bible. I didn't tell her to, I didn't make her do that. I love our godly women. I know I'm feeling sentimental right now, but I'm thinking of those that have loved me, those that have encouraged me, those that have helped me. And I feel blessed. I feel blessed like Timothy. He said, I think of thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I think about the unfeigned faith that they had. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I need to close. I know I need to. Seemed like God's trying to reach for somebody this morning. If you can feel it back there in the back, would you give me a witness in the back? God's drawing. God's reaching. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give a general altar call. If you'd like to come down, find a place around these altars. We're going to spend some time in prayer here this morning. Let's seek God with all of our heart. Who'll be the first one to step out? Let's get this altar call started. In Jesus' name, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings. Oh, God, I'm believing you to take this. I'm believing you to take this message beyond where I can go with it.